The word of the Lord from Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 through 10, entitled, A Prophet to the Nations. Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. And then I said, Ah, Lord God, truly I do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy. But the Lord said to me, Do not say I am only a boy, for you shall go to all whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, to deliver you, says the Lord. And then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Now I have put my words in your mouth. See, today I appoint you over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to pull down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. The word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, in this word this morning, Jeremiah is sent into a new and busy and stressful season to do what he's been called to do, but definitely feeling anxious about what's coming, unsure of whether he's the right person, of whether he has enough of the qualities to be a good enough prophet of God, but God has nonetheless chosen him. And this is a God who chooses children to teach the old, who chooses lambs to lay down beside lions, who chooses a grave to reconcile. And I can't help but read this as a teacher myself at Crescent Christian Academy who just finished her first week of a new semester teaching music, feeling scattered at best. But Jeremiah, like us, a nervous new teacher, says, Now the word of the Lord came to me. The word of God, he says, comes to me and speaks. We are given the word of the Lord. God says, You are not just a boy. You are Jeremiah, who I called on purpose. I have known you for your whole life. And I chose you and wrote every day of your life. I called you. Before I formed you, I knew you. I consecrated you, and I appointed you a prophet, a teacher to the nations. We are consecrated and here on purpose. We are here to affect the future of nations, of kingdoms, of lives, of families, through these children. You are giving them the love that they need to succeed. Esther 4:14 says, Who knows, perhaps you are here for such a time as this. Jeremiah is reminded that we are ordained uniquely with gifts, experiences, opinions, strengths, exactly where we are that come in many forms, but in this moment, God speaks to you. That you are supposed to be here in this role with the gifts that you have, giving education, structure, love to these children in all the forms that that takes, that they are going to need. God has appointed you to be God's instrument, a prophet to the nations, a teacher of love and compassion to children. We're given love, truth, and the gift of the gospel, education, skills, social, and academic, so that we may be like a prophet to give these things to the children we serve. And God chooses teachers to equip God's children with what they need to succeed so that they know, like we have been taught by God, that they are enough. We were equipped, many of us remember, by our own teachers back in the day. I bet you can call to mind one of those teachers right now who made you feel like you were welcome in that class, who saw you and believed in you, And I'm looking at you, Miss Pam Wheeler. Jeremiah then is brave enough to go into the world as God's instrument to do what God has asked. He doesn't feel ready to take all of it on just yet, just like us, for on the horizon there is a new schedule for the year, a new trajectory, a new path, a new mission, and a new list of tasks to be completed. The classroom has to be decorated, the lesson plans have to be put together, all the toys have to be washed, all the beds have to be organized, we have to email parents and our heads of school to report our plans and lesson plans for the year, our learning goals to make sure they're following standards, our syllabi, whatever it may be, all of these things. In this new calling, in this invitation to a new year, we will deal with new issues. Behavior challenges, parent challenges, budget cuts, layover, new expectations and standards to meet, new things we have to figure out with the team that we've been given. And this is not just for teachers, this is each one of us that's stepping into a new school year, a new thing, a new season of the job that we're doing currently. So much may be new and scary and unsure. But to God, you have been equipped with this from the beginning. You were made to be loved by God and to give that love right back to God's people. And you didn't know you were made for all that until that moment where you were called, that moment you were loved, that you felt the tug, God's invitation to give that love back through the gifts that you have. God is doing something powerful through you. But then Jeremiah says, "Ah, Lord God, I truly do not know how to speak, for I am only a boy." He says, "I don't know how to speak." He says it. He uses his words. He can do it. He's speaking just fine. But in the same breath, he is denying his own worth and capability as someone called by God. And he might be us too, saying, "Surely I cannot possibly be as equipped for these challenges as the more seasoned teacher I look up with, for it's definitely not easy to be as iconic and knowledgeable as Miss Rebecca Jones." How often, when we are forced to look in the mirror and say affirmations to ourselves about our work, those same affirmations that we ask our children, our students, to look in the mirror and say, "I am loved, I am smart, I am strong, I am worthy." We tell kids to say that, but how often when it comes for us to say that to ourselves do we shirk back? It's not selfish, though we might have been told it was. I was told it was. It's living into God's desire for us to know that we deserve love too. And that's the love that teaches us how to love. When we care for and love ourselves, knowing God sees us as more than just children, more than just a boy, we can better care for the needs of others. Every time I read this, I can't help but my brain is going, "It's not just a boulder, it's a rock." From SpongeBob, please excuse me. "The Lord said to me, 'Do not say, I am only a boy, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and you shall speak whatever I command you.'" God puts Jeremiah right in front of the mirror and says, "Do not say, I am only a boy." There was a video floating around the reels of the internet a while ago that I just love, and it's a reel where this lady is doing another little girl's hair. And the little girl looks in the mirror while she's doing it. I don't know if it was on a live stream or on another video, but the little girl looks in the mirror. She can't be more than 4 or 5 years old. And she says, "I look so ugly." A four-year-old. And the lady doing her hair stops what she's doing, stops everything, almost in a way that startles the little girl. She looks around. She's like, "What?" And the lady says, "Don't say that. Don't ever say that. You are so pretty. When you look at yourself, you're supposed to say, 'I am so pretty. You are so pretty.'" And she says it over and over again. "Do you hear me? You've got the cutest little dimples. You've got this beautiful, beautiful skin. You are beautiful. You are too cute." And she grabs her little dimples and goes like this. The little girl starts to cry. But she hugs her and she keeps going, "Ariana, you're not ugly. You're not ugly. You are beautiful." I imagine God empowering Jeremiah here, God's child, exactly like that video. For in that moment, the hairdresser lady is teaching that little girl that she has value and gifts when she wants to deny it about herself. And she's going to address it really fast. If she hears the first thing out of her mouth as a four-year-old, that she has learned as a young lady in this world that she has to look at herself in the mirror and say that she is ugly, that hairdresser lady is going to be like, nope, you are so pretty. God's stopping Jeremiah in his tracks and saying, no, you can do this. You shall go to whomever I send you. You shall speak whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. We don't need to be afraid of what's coming. We are, and that's a normal human response, but God is there to assure us that we don't need to be. For fear is not a wrong thing or something that you have to put away, like your anxiety shoved in a box out of your sight or out of the sight of others. But rather, we do not have to be afraid of anything we're about to encounter. That's what the angels said to shepherds when they were about to share with them that their Savior had been born. They said, you do not have to be afraid. It's normal to do so, but God is with us to deliver us, to see us through all of it. That is the gospel that we are given and giving. Verse 9 says, then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, now I have put my words in your mouth. God has given us the power, the endowment, the gifts, the calling, strength to use whatever we have and everything we have to convey the joy of Christ to the world. God touches Jeremiah's mouth that he may be God's prophet and speak what is right. God touches our eyes that we may see the way that God sees. God touches our hands so that we may serve all God's people as co-creators for a world where God's justice grants all human dignity and empowers all to get what they need and succeed. God touches the gifts that you have, lays hands on them and says, go, for I will be with you. Do this in remembrance of me, the love I have given to you. And every single way you love your students, your classmates, and all those around you, it will be of God. God will be in it. God will be right there. For see, today I appoint you over nations and kingdoms to pluck up and pull down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. Like a very careful gardener being a co-creator alongside God in amending where the little girl says, I'm so ugly, and putting instead in her mouth, I am so pretty, I am enough, I am strong, and I am worthy. Today we appoint you and we send you to the classrooms that you will teach in to go and do the work God gives you for the well-being of all God's children. And I want to leave you with this. I attended Duke Divinity School's orientation service earlier this week for the first time as an alumni. And Reverend Dr. Warren Kinghorn gave the sermon that day. And he spoke to a room full of nervous, very, very well-dressed, twitchy, brand new master's and PhD students. He gave them this passage from Isaiah 58 that articulates the mission of God that we are being sent to embody. This is why we're here. This tells them why they were there, why God called them, and why they're going into learning how to be a minister. God called each one of you so that we may go and do. And here's the message that the Lord says. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of injustice, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? And when you see the naked, to cover them and not to hide yourself from your own kin? Verse 9 says, then you shall call and the Lord will answer you. You shall cry for help and God will say, here I am. Jesus, who is our example, who shows us how to do that, how to give that, speaks before the synagogue in Luke chapter 4 with this similar passage from Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And Jesus names himself as the one who fulfills the word in their hearing. We here, you, are the ones sent to fulfill this word too. You have been loved and died for, so that you may know the power you have to do what God has asked. You are not just a boy. Would you pray with me? God, who reaches out and touches the blistered lips of your prophets and gives them your words. God, who refines them with a refiner's fire when the angel took coal and put it on Isaiah's lips to choose the fast that God chooses. God, who touched Jeremiah's mouth that he may be your prophet. We ask that you will touch our eyes, that we may see the value in all, see where there is a need for justice, and stand up for what is right. God, touch our hands that we may serve all God's people alongside you and grant all dignity. God, touch each one of the gifts we have, be in them and among them. Lay your hands on us and tell us in our hearts the reassuring message you told Jeremiah, go, for I will be with you. Amen.